Yeah, that's
make
an
it
alcohol
double,
thing. Not a kind that I drink. But hey, hi, welcome to Avatar The Last Podcasters. My name's Sean Shaler, and that not alcoholic is Chris Ford, a.k.a. the Objective Geek of YouTube and X and Blue Sky and probably generative AI fame, if generative AI could be famous.
I am not famous on some generative AI.
Did they know his work like the back of their RAM or whatever the back of the things that they could know things like would be? And welcome. Chris, did you do anything for New Year's? Anything fun? Or anything at all?
Didn't really do anything. New Year's? No. One thing I do have tradition of on New Year's. Somewhat tradition. I try to do it as often. When I say try, it's just I like to do it often. I may just skip it. But my own New Year's tradition is to watch Mulan on New Year's. And I watched it yesterday. Still a great Disney movie. Top.
That's peak Disney for sure.
Yeah.
Some real historical stuff blended in there. Some comedy. There's a dragon. Gender role. Glass ceiling breaking. Not glass ceiling. That's
the moment. There's two moments that just hit me, like every time, when the emperor bows to her. So the emperor does like a slight bow, which then everyone else, because the emperor did like a slight, almost at the waist bow, everyone else probably, I have to guess, probably in terms of like etiquette, had to do like a full knee bow, and they all bow to Mulan. And like all everyone in the crowd bows to her. It's like, oh, she is like, on that moment, it's just like a really good moment. And then the emperor gives her, before that thing, the emperor gives her his medallion and gives her the sword of the villain. Then she goes home, goes to her dad. Yeah, she thinks she's in trouble. She's like, Dad, I brought you the sword of Shang Tsung and the medallion of the emperor, and to bring honor to our family, to be a gift. And then she hands it to him, and he just like, these are like treasures. He just throws them down and hugs his daughter.
Priceless like, artifacts.
Yes. Ah, so freaking good. So freaking good.
The music's good, right? Pinnacle of Disney music.
Yeah.
Animation's good. It's from a better time in animation. You know, what a nice segue. Chris, I don't like the, it's not fair to call it like Pixar 3D, but just that like 3D CGI type animation. I like, not all the time, at least, and it feels like it's all the time. Sometimes I just want 2D animation, and preferably I want it this year, Avatar Studios.
Since Toy Story came out, I don't think I've ever been impressed with the animation in those movies. No, I take that back. Coco. I like the animation in Coco. There are certain scenes, like with the, it's very vibrant with the bridge of petals and stuff. That stuff looks beautiful. I was in awe of some of that stuff in Coco. But besides that, like, I've honestly never been impressed with, or rarely ever impressed with the animation and Pixar films or other 3D films.
It all looks the same. It can't be impressive. It was impressive in Toy Story and Bug's Life, right?
But I think of technology, but I was more impressed at the technology and not the, oh, look at the beautiful artistry on hand here.
Yeah. I won't say that I don't like her, that it ruins movies, but I just get kind of tired of it. And that's it. It feels like a lot of it. It feels like there's more variance. I say there's more variance in 2D animation, but then I probably go back and watch like all the Disney princess movies and be like, you know what? There's not a lot of variance here. But I like flat 2D stuff, like Avatar movies, for example. Which brings me to my next point. Chris, some Avatar movie news.
Yeah, honestly, it's hard I feel like fans are taking this news as the worst news in the history of Avatar.
I mean, and some I'm of that not might happy. Be.
And some of that I think is fair, based off what I can possibly ascertain from it. But the news is that the Aang movie, Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender, will no longer be in theaters. Instead, it will be going directly to Paramount Plus. And Paramount Plus, I'll just read it, read the little quip here. The cinematic continuation of Papa TV series previously slated. Oh, well, this isn't their thing. What was their thing? Okay, I believe this is from Paramount. The Avatar universe has captivated audiences for 2 decades, and Paramount Plus is proud to be the exclusive streaming home for its beloved animated incarnation, said James Wiseman, head of originals for Paramount Plus. The Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender, and Avatar Seven Havens represents the next evolution of storytelling from Avatar Studios, bringing together remarkable talent both in front of and behind the camera to deliver epic adventures and emotional depth fans have come to expect. These additions, alongside the Legend of Korra and the original series, solidify Paramount Plus as the destination for the animated Avatar universe. So, that was their thing about it, and I don't like that comment at all. I went to see this movie in the theaters.
We just made plans last week. It was a date. That was 2 weeks ago, but whatever.
Yes, it's funny. We came out with that. We record odd episodes early. That episode came out like the day after this news came out.
Now we look like idiots.
Yeah. Oh, man. Go back. Watch those people so excited for the movie to come out and watch it in theaters. And we talk about like how great it is for the return to 2D animation in theaters. And those people are fools. I tell you.
Why not put it in theaters? Is it that much more expensive?
That's a good question, Sean. So let's talk about what I want to talk about was like, what are the possible reasons for them not doing it in theaters?
One, and it's too good for theaters. Frankly, it's too good.
So the timing of this announcement, I think if I put my business hat on, because I think I consider myself a businessman. Even though I can think of like a businessman also.
When we say businessman, which, because I agree with Chris, he is a businessman, but we mean we don't run our own businesses. We just work in businesses.
I have a bachelor's of business administration and graduated top 10 in my class with I wouldn't say top 10, but a 3.7
close enough
GPA.
That's business enough for me, man.
And I have worked in this.
He also made the great, I already forget what property it was, but I should think of it because like, I should have the property name and the year for like the first time that you made like a good call on a kid's shoe based on the property. You know, it's like, oh, he also did the great Cars kid's shoe of 08, or, you know, I should have that. Make it a thing.
I wonder what is my biggest like, hey, just trust me, planners. Not plan. Just trust me, buyers.
Trust
I know
me,
what
bro.
Doing.
Moment.
I don't know. I mean, Frozen planned a lot for Frozen. Shout out to Frozen. I kind of miss those days of like being in merchandising, dealing with like IPs and stuff. Like I got to see like the picture of Kylo Ren before the movie came out. That was cool. You got to go to Vegas.
I did, yeah. I miss a lot of the people there because I liked a lot of the people there. I don't miss merch specifically. In my more recent experiences, I have preferred. I've been at 2 places where we sold products and 2 places where I sold services. And as far as like just that literal, what do you call it? That literal vacuum. I prefer services. I don't know
that's
why. I don't really. Are you 1-1 on products versus services? And 1 for government?
Well, right now I sell service. And to me, service is like, you know, you're trying to improve the human experience. And there is a lot of good you feel to do that. Why, when you're selling products, it's like, I'm trying to sell a product.
Yeah, I have a thing and I need you to buy it. This.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. I buy products and have sold products. I just... It's just, of the two, I have found myself preferring it less. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Back to my business hat being put on and trying to get in the head of Paramount execs and whatnot. So, they recently came out with a movie. SpongeBob SquarePants had a new movie come out. And I'm sure they put some type of marketing buckets money around it, and it did not do well. And I'm guessing they were like, man, if SpongeBob didn't do well, even though SpongeBob has had like 4 or 5 movies, what chances does Avatar have? So I would, because of the timing of the announcement around SpongeBob, it could be due to SpongeBob underperforming at the box office. And then I listen, we could waste some money on marketing, or we can push our app out to people and hope that people get on the app and stay on the app.
Okay. No. Gross. No, gross. I want it to go to the theater, and I want the audience to get bigger. Especially... Yeah. Now, I don't think that there's more people in theaters than ever, but I think that the theater subscription services would attract a slightly different audience than you might otherwise. Again, not because there's more people there than ever, but because the people that go to the theaters, probably those people go to just a lot of different movies that they might not otherwise.
Now, if I was a business person, though, and like in those meetings, I'd be like, yeah, sure. But that's SpongeBob SquarePants. That is one thing. Again, this is our like 4th or 5th SpongeBob movie. None of them have been necessarily great. And like
the very first one, I think, was probably successful. Well, I guess they might been successful. But the very first one, I remember being a big deal.
Yeah. And then I would say, hey, look at the most recent 2D animation stuff that came out in theaters that did well, like Demon Slayer made more money worldwide than Superman. That's kind of crazy. That movie costs maybe $30 million to make, and the animation is beautiful, looks so good on screen. If you just made half of that, that would have been worth it. I think Avatar could have made half of Demon Slayer money, so that's $300 million right there. This movie probably calls, if I had to guess, probably like 70 to 80 million, somewhere around there. So your break-even point after marketing and stuff is probably 160. It's probably like 160, 200 million, somewhere around there. But I think the Avatar movie would have made like 300, 350.
I wouldn't say that, and this is definitely your area. I'm making conjecture, and then I'm looking for you to validate or educate. I just think that Avatar might not have a bigger audience in terms of just pure volume, but a wider audience. I think a wider group of people would recognize Avatar The Last Airbender over Demon Slayer as like a potential, hey, let's go see that in movie theaters.
In the United States, yes.
Fair enough.
Demon Slayer's pretty big. Also, what's going in Demon Slayer's favor is that, like, that story, you could only watch that story in theaters, and that's hot right now. Like, that's not like a project that came out 20 years ago that is current right now in the current zeitgeist. Either way, I think it could have made some money. So, I don't think it's a good business decision-wise to get it out of theaters. Also, this is more general for all apps and all whatever things. They're dumb. All movie studios are dumb, and in training the audience to just wait a couple of weeks or months for it to reach their either pirating or their app, like, why did you train your audience to do that? You could have trained them to go to the movie theater, then spend more money on the movie, on physical or through buying your app. Instead, you're like, hey, if you guys don't see this movie, don't worry. We will put it on our app.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'm already anti-app, but then like I hadn't even thought of it in that way that you just explained it. It's like we're teaching them they don't have to go to the theater because you can't go to the app, but you could just teach them like you go to theater and then later you can also.
Yeah.
Because you know what movie people like to do, Chris? They like to watch movies.
Yes.
Part of their makeup, so, I guess.
Yeah. So that's could potentially be one reason. Is the Sunshine movie underperforming? They're like, all right, let's just whatever, get ahead of it. The other reason, and
but that SpongeBob movie is that stupid CGI 3D garbage that we were just talking about, too. It's not even...
Very true. The other reason might be more political / social. So, Avatar Studios, Brian Konietzko, and Michael Dante DiMartino are very progressive people, from what I can see from them. And very outspoken. Very, you know, ahead of times, you know, Kurosami was absolutely ahead of its time. And the stories of Avatar are, I wouldn't say, I hate using the word woke because it has lost all meaning.
Stupid word to begin with.
I mean, it's just gotten appropriated. And anyway, their stories are very progressive. The story of Avatar is very progressive. And the folks at Paramount, the heads, are not that progressive people. One might even call them MAGA people. I don't know. I don't need to get political and stuff. But
they might. I honestly don't know. I believe they are.
They.
But it's still wild because...
It's hard to differentiate between like supporting MAGA and just like trying to grease the wheels of MAGA right now to get what you want done. They have undoubtedly greased the wheels of Trump to get favor with him to so they can buy certain things. So like Skydance was its own thing that the Ellisons are rich people who own Oracle. You know Oracle?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Oh, the biggest ERP platform in the world? Yeah, I've heard of them.
So they own Oracle. The head guy, whatever his name's Ellison, he has a son. He said, hey, son, I'll go buy this movie studio for you called Skydance. He was like, thanks, daddy. So then Skydance...
That's probably exactly like, hey. his tone and everything. Thanks, daddy.
And Skydance was like, hey, we want a movie studio. I'm like, all right, cool, we go buy Paramount. So then they bought Paramount. And this was all like within the last year or so.
Man, so rich people are wild.
They are. In order for Skydance to buy Paramount, they need to get this stuff approved. And the presidency can veto or has somewhat type of powers to stop mergers and stuff.
Sure.
They pretty much told him like, hey, we'll make like CBS stop going so hard on you. So like even now you'll see like 60-minute segments are like they have interviewed like one of Donald Trump's sons and stuff. It's kind of a soft interview, honestly. And also like they recently, now I'm getting too into the weeds and stuff. There was recently a story that they shelved. It was supposed to premiere on 60 Minutes. There was about how Trump was sending illegal migrants to like these very horrific places, and they had pulled that. So, long story short, they are somewhat greasing the wheels of Trump's presidency, and they're at least trying to get into. I don't know how any people's heads are, but I know what are they doing business wise. And even now, they're trying to buy Warner Brothers. And they would, you know, like to get that approval from Trump. Even Trump's son or son-in-law, Jared Kushner, involved with the Saudis and everything, and thing trying to come together and buy Warner Brothers. You know, long story short, guidance and stuff. They're not necessarily as progressive, I think, as creative Avatar Studios are. And those stories are. So there could be a sense of like, hey, why are we putting this out in theaters with a very progressive story when, you know, we don't want that stuff out in theaters? The only thing there that might, you know, so the only other, another thing that might support that is that back when Kurosami happened, they were pulled from Nickelodeon. I don't know if there was any, you know, they said it was because, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but they said it was because, like,
says
oh,
a guy before he well. Says a conspiracy.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. I think most conspiracies are dumb. I'm like, you came to that conclusion because of this? Okay, whatever. but on the Kurosami thing, I wonder, you know, did they see, you know, did Brian Mike go like, hey, we're doing this. It's going to be a same-sex couple on a Kids Y7 show. And we're there like, you know what? You guys are doing so great on Nick.com. Let's just premiere the episodes on Nick.com, and then we won't potentially have any issues there or any, like, pushback from any type of people. So there leaves more credence there. Which brings me to, I am probably pretty confident there will be even more diversity representation, especially in Seven Havens. For some reason, I get that feeling from Seven Havens more than the Aang movie, probably because it's like the new characters and stuff. The Aang movie is like, we know these characters. We know most of them are... they land.
We know how many white characters there are in this. that's Seventh Havens would have more creative freedom because of just the studio and the end game it's coming out of, like just being a TV show from Avatar Studios. Like, what's the logic? What's your logic there?
Oh, I mean, potentially the same thing. Like, if it's the why wouldn't they put it on Nickelodeon? Right, it's not like Nickelodeon has a bunch of shows. Because some of it could be like, hey, we really want people to go to. Okay, this is head on. It could be we want people cable. Where's the money in cable? They don't know. They know there's more money. Well, they know, but they know that probably there's more money if we can get people on our app rather than as cable. Because yeah, and so they may be trying to push people towards their app. If I go another route with it, another social, somewhat political route, is that Seven Havens probably is pretty progressive. And then do they want pushback on Nickelodeon? Like, oh, you got this Y7 show, and you got these characters and stuff pushing your agendas and whatnot. There could be some of that. I don't know. I think it would do best on Nickelodeon because... people don't have Paramount Plus. I don't know if they know this, but Paramount Plus is not a popular app.
No. I think Chris, all the people that I know that signed up for Paramount Plus recently did it to watch that one Chiefs game last year.
Yeah.
And guess what? That was a playoff game. I don't know if you're gonna hit the Kansas City market the same way again this year.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I never asked you, Sean. Complete turn from this conversation. Has nothing to do with it. You know what I'm about to ask you?
Kelsey gonna retire?
No, oh. No. It's closer.
Okay.
What do you think about the Chiefs moving to Kansas City KCK?
My underlying theme is that I hate billionaires asking city citizens to pay for stuff. That is
true.
No
one disagrees on that.
No, that's the worst thing ever. But because that happens a lot of places, although there's some weird ones, like, okay, don't quote me on this. Like, do your research before you, like, repeat this. But, like, I think the Raiders is not, like, city taxed whatsoever, which is wild. And maybe there's a correlation between that and being not good. No, I'm just kidding. But there are some professional sports teams out there that essentially own and build their own stadiums, I believe. But I think that is the minority. That being said, I'm super happy that they're not leaving the area. Yeah, I don't think the jobs that it brings are like good jobs, but they are jobs, right? Nobody's getting like front office jobs just because they moved to this side. You know what I mean? But they are jobs. Yeah. Like, all right. So a lot of pros and cons. I would say I'm really happy they're not leaving, and it is a much more interesting and better location. But I also feel bad for the people who had those jobs on the Missouri side, because I don't care that you live in Missouri. I think that you probably, if you needed that job, and I wanted you to have that job. You know what I mean? Like,
I do think if I look at the whole Kansas City metro area as one. As I've all one thing, so, you know, I live in Kansas, and I mean, you live in Kansas also. I've always considered the Chiefs a Kansas and Missouri team. I know Missouri people haven't thought of that because they're like, "Ah, no, screw you, Kansas, you suck." And I'm like, "Screw you, we've been kicking your butt since Civil War." But I do like your airport, and I like Planet Comic Con, so thank you for that.
That's both good things. Bartle Hall is delightful. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't see the state things bug me because I don't want our states to be so
contentious.
It's like, yeah, I know that person over there in Missouri, their life has as much value. Like, let's say you're a person who has a job with the Chiefs that needs a job. It's like, your life is just as valuable to me as the person that lives on this side as the state border.
I've never been like a state's. It's funny how, like, my daughter right now was learning U.S. history. And, like, I can tell I wasn't paying attention before. When I learned it, I was like, oh, I would definitely be a Federalist. Like states, like, even when I was a kid, I was like, why is it the law here, not the law there? Or why is this place treated differently in that, like, aren't we all U.S. citizens? I don't care. Like, it's good for them.
There's a lot of things that I want to be like state decisions and to make state unique. Yeah. Like, you know, charging state income tax and what you do or then can't do with that. It's like, all right, that's fine. But like, Chris, I do disagree. I've always fashioned the Chiefs as a Missouri team. Kansas City was a town in Missouri before Kansas was Kansas. But that, listen, is it that big of a deal? Like, it's still in the KC metro area. It's Kansas City. Like,
that's the thing for me. To me, Kansas City is more than Kansas City, Missouri. It is the entire Kansas City metro area.
Can we just be a neat metro area that kind of is happy? And
yeah. Like, when I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to KC, granted, it's from a Kansas person. And so when I say I'm going to go to KC to go shopping, when I hit up all the different vintage stocks, I go to Oak Park Mall, and even that's on the Kansas side. Really, I don't need to go to the Missouri side unless it's for like there's a couple of finished stocks on the other side that I like to go to. But I consider it all the KC area, like pretty much from when the Legends goes to like the end of what east side of KC. But
so. I like one of my favorite things about Kansas City Metro is like, yeah, obviously there's people. It's like, well, that's KCK or that's KCMO, but not, I don't run into a ton of those people. We just call it KC. We even say we don't, there's like, it's a short, what do you call it? Shorthands. It's KC. If you go up to like Omaha and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, I'm going to go farther east because there's thing over there I want to do. And they'll be like, no, that's Council Bluffs. Like as soon as you cross over the border into Iowa, it's Council Bluffs. Or St. Louis. I lived on the border of St. Louis, and then you cross the river, and you're in East St. Louis. But East St. Louis has such a negative connotation that people would be like, no, that is East St. Louis, and you have to separate that. Here, we don't do that, and I think that's nice, or at least I don't run into a lot of people that do that.
But overall, I think it's good for the entire KC metro area because the Legends area is better, more robust entertainment area. And then when you plant that there, we will add more stuff and add, I think, more net jobs for the whole area. And then when the Super Bowl, I don't want to say like the fad, but when we get more stuff in, that affects the entire area, whether it's concerts or Super Bowls or whatever, what have you, Final Fours, that affects the entire metro area.
Yeah, that's, I mean, obviously it's going to be more helpful to the Kansas side, because like, oh, but the Missouri side needed a dome to make it happen. That the Legendary is a much nicer area for it. But I just keep going back to like the political origins of I don't want those people to, I don't want us to gain jobs, so people on the other side of town lose jobs. It doesn't make
it's a, yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing of like, all right, there's I think there will be net new jobs, but there are definitely cases where it's like, oh, there's no net new jobs. I mean, it's not like people from Missouri can't get the job in Kansas, or people from Kansas haven't gotten the jobs in Missouri. Like, that doesn't change necessarily.
It's a pretty... I always found that area of town very difficult to navigate for a Chiefs game, and then your options for food is like one Taco Bell. And don't get me wrong, I love Taco Bell. Those guys, that Taco Bell location's gonna hurt now.
I have kind of enjoyed some of the bickering of like, you guys, congrats, like Missouri, what are you whining about? You built a Taco Bell in a gas station. You should have done more.
Probably. And then there's also the argument of the Jackson County. At one point, they had a vote to increase like a sales tax or whatever, and they said no. And it's like, well, it shouldn't damn them, but it's like, well, I guess they kind of had an opportunity. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel that way about the damn 2D animated movies not going into the damn theaters. I'm so upset. It's not the worst thing but it's pretty high on my list of things that have made me sad.
So this is reason why one of the reasons why I think this could be some of the worst Avatar news. It's like, all right, is this the end of them trusting Avatar? Is this the end of them putting money behind Avatar? Like, I just want this franchise to do well. Like, I just want more. And if you came out with the movie and if it was a success, like, you're not giving Avatar Studios a chance at really great success. You are limiting them. You are flooring their success by just being like, here, go to Paramount Plus on your stupid, crappy thing. If it was on Netflix, then maybe.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. it's Netflix.
Yeah, but it's on Paramount Plus.
Home of... Hold on. Let me think.
One of the Ed Sheeran stuff, like Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't do the dramas or HBO-like dramas. That didn't do a lot for me. Is Yellowstone and Ozark, are those like knockoffs of the same idea? Or are we just naming shows after large areas of land? Like
Yellowstone is like rich cowboy white people fighting against...
Lost me already. I'm out.
Fight against Native Americans and other rich non-cowboy white people.
Oh my goodness. Just today, sorry, well, it's not inappropriate, it's funny. Just today I went to a New Year's party, and my best friend growing up, the other Tracy Ford, his wife is Indian, or her parents are first generation Americans. Like, they weren't born here. They came here and now are citizens. And so Tracy and Tanya's baby, they have her skin. There's a brown baby. And it's just funny to see like this sea of white babies surrounding these two brown babies. And there was something about when they put their baby, they have two kids, they put their baby down in between two other babies, mine and another baby. They're very close in age. They're all 2 months apart, give or take. And he just like looked back and forth. And I know he just did it because he's a baby. But in my head, he's like looking back and forth like, a lot of white people in here.
That's how I am. When I walk into a room, sometimes I'm like, man, there's a lot.
Just scoping it out. No, they both.
I've ever told you how like one of my first weeks at Payless, it was they were going over their engagement survey. And like they're going over the different questions, and
is
it's
there
like
one about diversity in there?
Yes, And like they rated high on diversity in the engagement survey, and like literally, like I'm pretty sure me and Mo just started, and I'm pretty sure me and Mo looked at each other in the meeting, and this is a meeting of like 200, 300 or so people, and we're like, we just got here, we just doubled your numbers.
You went from 2 to 4. Proud of you.
And this survey was done weeks before we started, maybe a month. What does diversity mean? What does diversity mean to you? It's like, oh, we got people from Mizzou and we got people from KU. Look at that diversity.
Topeka is kind of diverse. I think Olathe, as far as towns in Kansas, Olathe might have on a proportionate scale of just white, non-white, might be about as diverse as it gets. But, like, there's so much of Kansas where diversity is one black people. Like, you know, like in the town. And so, there's a kid above my, you remember Jordan, and it was above, one grade above him. And he's the only black kid in school, and he's only half black. He's the only black kid in school, and he's half black, and he's on a bus. And just innocent, not innocent because they're being stupid, but like stupid little kids in another town. After a football game, like throwing rocks at the bus, like 10-year-old awful children, and they happen to throw one through a window, and it hits the half black kid in the head, just like a little pebble. Is that a hate crime? Is that an X? Like, but no. But there's so many towns in Kansas where that is like, yeah, that's the one that's here. Yeah. That's the whole town.
It's funny. I recently saw like a little clip of something where it was like. You know, people say, like, oh, college is turns people liberal or turns people stuff. It's like, it's not that it's college. It's not like it's college professors. It's just when you go to college, you just meet people that are not like you. I think meet a vast array of people that you might not have a chance to meet in wherever you came from. Like,
I think the workforce made. I'm 5 years behind on everything, but I think the workforce made me more liberal. Like, you start paying your own bills and like living real life and seeing certain things, you're like, ew. But maybe being in college has to like turn on certain switches in your brain for you to be aware of those things. Sure.
Yeah.
But that's weird. All this 2D animation.
Back to 2D anime.
I don't want to talk about it anymore, Chris. I'm legitimately very upset. No, I'm never going to the movies again. Wait a minute. That's what Paramount wants. They don't want me to go to the movies, so maybe I will.
Well, then that's the irony of it. Like Paramount in their like argument against Netflix. Buying Warner Bros. Is like, they're just going to put all their movies on the streaming service. It's like, you just took a movie off of theaters to put it on your streaming service.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Did I tell you we're going to... So this is related. I hate all streaming services and I hate subscriptions. And also, it doesn't take a lot to entertain me. I'm pretty happy to do with what I got. But we're gonna do serious because I like live sports and I don't mind listening to them. And it was under $50 for the whole year of like an offer for like the elevated version where you get the live sports and the phone apps. So it's not just the car. So we're gonna do serious for a year and see which listen to live sports and or other nebulous forms of shady internet provisions. We'll see how it goes because I don't want to support any streaming service and give it the idea that it's okay to be a streaming service. Not gonna do that.
Sometimes I just feel like business are dumb. Like, you guys, like, why are you going backwards?
Also,
like,
isn't it more work to have your own streaming service than just to sell your stuff? Like, do you really think that Paramount, you're making more money off your stuff by hoarding it to your own crappy service than by selling it to other services?
They probably make... I don't know. Because I have no idea what they make in selling them off. But
yeah, I don't know what that what those packages would look. But you could probably do less work. Like, you can sign a piece of paper Or you can host a streaming service that you have to keep up and market and blah, 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 blah. Or just let other people pay you for your films and TV shows.
Yeah.
I know which one sounds better to me personally. Gross.
No. Other than that, I don't think there was much else to talk about, to discuss around the Aang movie. Not going to be in theaters. Yeah, that's a big bummer. I do. Oh, just to force ourselves. Can you think of any silver lining?
My silver lining is...
I know you're about to be sarcastic.
No, well, I was. No, you caught me. That's fine. My silver lining is that I will get to experience it in a way that you might experience a TV show, which is just in your own home, in your own chair, and that it will be like watching a new episode of TV in that respect.
My silver lining is... I've never seen the Avatar fandom this united, probably since the finale, the finale of Atla. Like, I haven't seen anyone who's like, this is good news, guys. Everyone has been, I've never seen the Avatar fandom this united, and that's good.
No, I want to know the one person out there who loves Paramount and hates films in theater. Because Chris... I'm halfway there. I don't like going to the theater, but I like it better than this.
Yeah.
Nope. The other upside also, is that, I was going to say it anyway, but I'm not getting Paramount. So the upside is we'll get to combine our creative thinking powers and find a 1 month Paramount free trial to use.
I think I have Paramount Plus still, but I'm about to cancel it just because I don't. I had it specifically for a reason.
I thought it was the Chiefs playoff game.
Might have been that, and I just haven't gotten around, and it hasn't been that much. But yeah, no, I need to cancel it.
I mean,
it's funny. I recently got Disney Plus, so I can watch Avatar, the other dumb Avatar. It's not that
worst Avatar.
Yeah, the worst. It's so weird to watch. I haven't watched anything of the Blue People since the first one came out. And so I was like, you know, I'm so bored. I haven't been to the movies in such a long time. I want to go to the movies. The only thing that may be worth seeing is the new Avatar Blue People film. But I haven't seen the most recent one. So I was like, I'd much rather just rent it than get Disney Plus, even though I know it's cheaper to get Disney Plus. But I still got Disney Plus.
I don't want them to know that I'm doing this.
Yeah. It was fine enough film, but it's weird to watch a story where the term Avatar is being thrown around willy-nilly with no prevalence at all.
Garbage. No, I'm fine with this.
They could have just called it Pandora. That would have made more sense.
I'm completely just like the most, not because I think they are the most mediocre, it's just that my feelings about them are just the most like, yeah, that, I mean, if they would be on TV, I'd probably be like, okay. And then I'll never seek them out ever. And that's fine.
I would never say they're bad. They're not bad.
Wildly well-liked, surely. It's just, that's not my type of sci-fi, personally.
I don't think they're well-liked. Well, like might be an accurate statement.
Right, not like...
It is liked.
We don't see a lot of people walking around at Comic-Con in Blue People Avatar costumes. But the movies review and perform well, right? So, like, they're liked.
Yeah. Maybe I don't think I've ever met a person who loved them.
I think the first I think the hype behind the first one, I feel like it had its own little, you know, James Cameron pop. Chris, I need you to confirm or deny this. This latest Christopher Nolan film. What is it?
Odyssey.
And that they had it was an insane number of hours, like tens of thousands of hours of film or something like that, like recorded on film total, in order to get, you know, his 3 hours of footage. I was like, that sounds like something Christopher Nolan would.
I mean, Christopher Nolan, honestly, he usually, from what I know, he films what he wants to film, and that usually makes the movie. There aren't, like, he doesn't have a lot of deleted scenes. He's like, oh, film my movies, and that's how it is. And he doesn't really cut much. I don't know if Odyssey would be any different, but it's like you won't see a single deleted scene any of his movies. He just doesn't do deleted scenes.
At least not one that, like, has any impact whatsoever.
Yeah, because he's like, I filmed what I wanted to film.
If the deleted scenes is the hobbits floating down the river for 3 more minutes, which I still think about a lot. I'm just getting to, just when that scene came up and getting to point to Gio, like, there it is. That's the director's cut right there. This extra river scene. I think he was actually upset.
I do want to binge the Lord of the Rings films, but I don't know when. I got to work up, not my courage, I got to work up something sit down and watch them all.
They are simultaneously, I don't know how to explain it, Chris, they're simultaneously some of my favorite films ever, and yet sometimes I still wonder if they're a little overrated. Like, if people overrate how quote-unquote good they are, that distinction I make all the time. Like, are we overrating how good they are versus that they just hit a lot of people in the right way at the right time and we love them, and that's great. I love them. Again, top handful of series or franchises for me. But I always wonder, are they a little overrated? And then I'll go watch them again. Probably twice a year. I bet I watch them twice a year. The actual trilogy. The Hobbit. Maybe once a year, once every other year, that trilogy. They're not as good, the Hobbit ones. It's hard to say this with a straight face about a Lord of the Rings anything, but the Hobbit trilogy gets a little drawn out. But whatever. Chris, let's wrap it up. I need to think about something happier.
Okay.
Talk about something happier next week. My name's Sean. That's Chris Ford. We've been yelling at a cloud for several minutes now. Welcome to Avatar The Last. I don't know if I even said this is Avatar The Last Podcasters. And if you're listening to this episode, if you're listening only, I just want to clarify one thing based on the content of this. I am white. I just want to put that out there. If you're listening on audio only and you've never watched us on video, I feel like that's worth mentioning.
And I am 132 high there on Durian.
Are you really?
I believe so.
Oh, that's
well,
kind of cool.
That's what
How would you?
Honduranian? Honduran?
I take it however you want. You are, not me.
I am more certain that I am part of the Cherokee tribe.
Are you?
Not through blood, but through slavery, if that exists.
Can't decide if that's worse, probably, yes.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And this sad episode has been Avatar The Last Podcasters. And I'll put all the stuff in the description. Happy New Year, if you haven't had one of those already. And leave all the positive interactions with us. We appreciate it all. And we'll see you next week.